When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Welcome into the program. Welcome into a new day on the program. Happy Thursday. And it's starting off pretty nice for me. Hope it is for you as well. And we've got a lot that we can discuss today. I heard the report as I was hearing the ABC News at the beginning of the hour. I heard the report that this is expected to be, or maybe it was America in the Morning. Kind of all blends together as I'm running around. But they expect this to be a busy travel weekend, a record-setting Labor Day travel weekend. And yesterday I had to go to the Cape for a couple of things I had to do. We're doing another spooky sandwich event this October, so I had to go meet with the people involved in that, and then I was meeting some family who were staying there on the Cape for the weekend, for the week, and I expected I was going to hit some traffic. Obviously on a Wednesday, you don't expect the bridge traffic to be too bad, but I also knew that if I didn't get there by a certain time, there'd be a backup on the Bourne Bridge. And I actually ended up getting off the Bourne exit before the bridge to run a couple of errands first. That had a little bit of a backup. But other than that, I didn't encounter any traffic. Didn't encounter any going over the bridge. Didn't encounter any on the Cape. It seemed like there were some people around, but it didn't seem overly busy. Now, the same time of year last year, I went and had the same meeting. And it was much busier throughout Sandwich, the couple of places that I had to go to meet with people for this. So I don't know if it's, anecdotal at all, but it didn't seem as bad as it had been in the past. I think part of that might be today will be the busy day. Maybe I don't remember what day it was last year that I went, but maybe I went on a Thursday last year. But it was actually nice to be on the Cape in the summer and still be able to get around. I used to live in Sandwich. I lived in Sandwich and Forestdale for a couple of years when I was a kid. And it definitely has a different feel. But I also have a tendency in the summertime. You know, I liked it. I felt, you know, in the summer of 1989 when we moved there, you felt isolated. I had just spent 4 years living in Plymouth where, you know, the supermarket was right next door to my house and there was a movie theater and a department store. And like everything was close by and there, everything you could imagine was around you and it was always busy. And then we move out somewhere where, oh, I mean, we got to drive a half an hour just to go to the store. So it was definitely a different feel. And I, you know, kind of felt like some of that yesterday. So I would say, if you're looking for a quick day away on the Cape, maybe get over there and do it today. Because it's gonna get busier. In fact, one of the meetings couldn't happen and the person was like, "Well, you know, do you wanna come back like Friday?" "Nope, not coming there Friday." "Nope. Not doing that." But I also think that there's probably some of us who are more than happy to wait until after Labor Day if we want to go to the Cape or anything. Honestly, I don't get it. I've never seen the appeal. Oh, let's go spend a week on the Cape and do what? Maybe I just need more stimulation than sitting on a beach. I'm not a beach guy. Maybe I need to have a little, you know, amusement parks or something else that's a draw. Maybe I'm just spoiled because I live there and then I live here and there's not really that much difference. So as I said, there's a lot that we can talk about today. I'm sure some folks are following the story about the arrest in what is now the murder of Sandra Birchmore. We can talk about that if you want. There's also a new playground in New Bedford. Ariel has the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Kearney Academy has opened a new inclusive playground, something that will be open to the community when it's not school hours. Obviously, during school hours, don't trespass on school property. But then once school is over, it becomes, you know, a public playground. And as you can read from the story, you know, the focus here was on a grassroots effort to get this done. Of course, there's grant money and Community Preservation Act money that comes into play, but it really took faculty within the school to say, we've got to do something about this. We want to upgrade these playground facilities. And I think any other school that or neighborhood that has a playground that they'd like to see upgraded, improved, and turned into an inclusive playground, you can talk to the folks over at Kearney Academy who put this together, because I mean, I remember talking about this 2 years ago on the radio as they were having different events to try to fundraise. So it's not easy. These playgrounds today are expensive. It used to be that you could put one up for, you know, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000. It used to be that, you know, if there were some parents who had the ability to build some of that stuff, they would just build a playground. And that was enough. Hey, we can save some money because, you know, one of the kids' dads is a builder and he said they've got extra materials and, you know, they'll do it as a tax write-off. Those days are over. For a variety of reasons. Most importantly, though, that any new playground that's being built should be an inclusive playground. That means kids who are have trouble, physical disabilities, if they have sensory issues, like these things are all taken into account in the creation of this playground. So, you know, think about the fact that people drive from other states to go to Noah's Place because of how few of those inclusive playgrounds there are. And I'm sure the Team No and everybody who works on that playground and worked on it, I'm sure they would be happy to see the day where people don't have to come from other places to use that playground because they have their own in their own community. But that's not the case. So that draws people in. So as new playgrounds have been built in the city, there's been a focus on having them be inclusive playgrounds. And does it increase the cost? Of course. But it's worth it. And so I think if you are thinking about, you know, hey, our neighborhood playground needs an upgrade, we're going to build a new playground, design a new playground, but we don't need to be inclusive because we don't have any kids in our neighborhood who have those issues. Well, not now, but you may someday. You hope that playground's going to stand for 20, 30 years. And then also, making it an inclusive playground is probably a big help in getting some of that grant money. There are probably, and I don't know this for a fact, I'm just assuming, specific grants that are for inclusive playgrounds. So it's beneficial to you, even if you think that, you know, well, there's a inclusive playground three blocks over. But it's still a solid approach, not only because it's the right thing to do, but because it can help you with the fundraising aspect. And I don't know when this shift happened in playgrounds to get away from the wooden playground. Every playground that was built when I was a kid, or, you know, at an age when I still would have gone to a playground, whether because I wanted to go to play or because I had my younger siblings or even when my son was born, wooden playgrounds were the thing. The Lopes Field playground in Onset was kind of like the It was kind of like the definitive playground for the area. Lots of those wooden structures to climb on. The towers, the suspension bridge. Like that was what most play. And if you saw one of those playgrounds, like you wanted to go and play on it. Those were the real deal. And we've gotten away from those, I would assume, because they're not the safest for kids. Not only splinters, and God knows I got plenty of those over the years, but they're not great for if you fall. They're not great for if you, you know, you can twist your ankle in some of these playgrounds. I mean, that was the danger, was kind of the fun. But now you've got softer materials. You've got things that are going to stand up better in the weather. Things that are easier to clean off if someone comes and vandalizes them. And I don't know that we'll ever go back to these wooden playgrounds. So enjoy, if you still like that era of playgrounds, enjoy Lopes Field while you have it, because someday they're going to tear that down and replace that with something else. For us, like, that was the be-all, end-all for playgrounds for a long time. But then my family's from Randolph, and they built a new playground in Randolph. So if we went to go visit my grandparents, we'd be like, oh, can we go to the playground? And that one had not only all these wooden structures, it had a zip line. Not like a, you know, high-up, dangerous one, but just two platforms and a line between that you held on to the handle and push yourself off and you would zip across to the other side. But that was the best thing ever. Then another favorite was Buttonwood Park, because it had those tubes where you could talk into them and hear them on the other side of the playground. Go stand over there, I'm going to talk to you. I think the Sipican school had those too. I don't know if it still does. But so the playgrounds were a different animal back in those days. And now you've got much better, much safer materials to work with. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. 2 days left in our James Taylor contest for this week. We will have another week of James Taylor tickets next week because there were two shows. So we got tickets to both shows and we spread it out over 2 weeks so that, you know, didn't get confusing for people and for us. So if you would like to enter to win tickets to see James Taylor on Monday, September 9th, you can do that today and tomorrow. And then starting tomorrow after the show, we'll put up your entry form to win tickets for Tuesday, September 10th. And again, a reminder that these are standing room only tickets. So you'll have to be able to stand through the whole show. They cannot get you a seat. They cannot accommodate you. So you'll need to be able to stand. And all the tickets that we give away here on the morning show, brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. They also have been doing some ticket giveaways as well. We gave them some tickets to give away throughout the course of the season, and I think they'll probably have something good to give away on September 28th when they have their grand tasting. Their grand fall tasting. So you want to keep that on your calendar. I will be there that day, so we can sample some things together. 508-996-0500. We're going to take a break here, and then we'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. I've got a question I'm just going to throw out there today, and you can feel free to chime in either by calling in or sending your app chat message, or you can record an open line voicemail and send that on the app as well. But I saw a lot of those, you know, back to school, first day of this grade photos yesterday going around social media. But I also saw some people who were complaining that they felt that it was ridiculous that their kids were going back to school yesterday. As we've talked about before, I don't remember ever going back to school before Labor Day. I could be wrong. It could be selective memory, but I don't have a recollection of that myself. I know certainly my son did. But when you look at it, and teachers, administrators, Superintendent O'Leary, anybody who might be listening who wants to call in and explain it to me, I'm more than happy to hear it, but this is to get 3 days of school in before Labor Day this year. That's what kids are getting. In some cases, 2 days, because some are starting today. 2 or 3 days. Is that really that important? You couldn't tack those 2 or 3 days on at the end of the year? And I know, yeah, well, then if you have snow days, it goes to this day. And this is it. I get all that. But is it really that important to have those days on the calendar so that you mess up everybody's summer, end of summer plans? Oh, it can't go away for Labor Day because the kids got school Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Otherwise, we would go away, come back Monday, and they can start Tuesday. Instead, the kids are going to go to school for 3 days and then have a 3-day weekend. I don't understand it. And I'm sure as parents, for some of you, it doesn't matter. You just can't wait for the kids to go back to school. And for others, you say, well, I would have liked to have done something this weekend. I would have liked to have traveled or gone somewhere, gone camping. One last hurrah, but we can't because, you know, they got to be there the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And this isn't like, you know, April vacation or February vacation where parents say, I'm going to keep the kid out a few extra days and we're going to go away somewhere. You can't do that. You can't say, well, you can start on Tuesday. It's the first day of school. You got to be there. So I just think that it's, I just don't see the necessity of it. And I know people will call up, well, if they didn't do it this way, then at the end of the year, if there's snow days, if they use all the snow days, they wouldn't get out of school until the 4th of July. Well, no, that's probably not true. And secondly, okay, maybe we just need to take down that 180-day requirement just a little bit. Do you really think that if we knock that down to 175 days, kids would be so much worse off for it? I think you'd be fine. There's a lot of in-service days, and I get it. They're necessary. Professional development, I understand. But maybe you could pull a couple of those out and find a different way to handle those things so that you don't have to start school. I'm sure teachers don't want to start 3 days before Labor Day either. I'm sure they'd rather have one last summer weekend. And yeah, the target date of Labor Day moves around, but it's generally around the same time. Second, third, fourth, fifth. So I just don't understand why it has to be that way. And I get it. I get it, administrators. You have to schedule it. I'm going off on this rant and Phil's over there waiting to do the news. So I don't know, Phil. I got passionate about it. So I apologize. All right, let's go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt, a man who would go to school any day if we asked him to.
Russia says some American journalists aren't allowed in. A listeria outbreak in deli meat kills 6 more people. And stressed out parents are a public health concern.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Russia is barring nearly 24 American journalists from entering the country. Michael Kastner reports.
Russia's foreign ministry posted a statement online Wednesday saying it has permanently barred 92 U.S. citizens in response to what it calls the Biden administration's Russophobic course, including the sanctions the U.S. imposed earlier this year. The list includes 14 journalists from the Wall Street Journal, 5 from the New York Times, and 4 from the Washington Post. A U.S. State Department spokesperson accuses the Kremlin of escalating attempts to restrict media freedom in Russia. I'm Michael Kastner.
United Airlines flight attendants are approving a strike across the country. The flight attendants have voted to approve strike authorization if they don't reach an agreement with the airline. For now, off-duty flight attendants are marching on informational picket lines. The flight attendants want raises, job security, and retirement benefits. In a statement, United says it will continue working toward an agreement and says a strike is not imminent as it's a lengthy process. Vice President Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz joining CNN for their first joint interview. The pair will be interviewed by CNN's chief political correspondent and anchor Dana Bash in an interview to air at 9 this evening. The CDC says 6 more people have died from an outbreak of contaminated deli meat. Since May, 9 people have died and nearly 60 have been hospitalized by a listeria outbreak connected to Boar's Head Meats. Boar's Head expanded its deli meat recall in July to include an additional 7 million pounds of ready-to-eat meats from its plant in Virginia. SpaceX Falcon 9 rockets are being grounded after a first-stage booster crashed onto a landing barge. More from Tammy Trujillo.
An FAA investigation is underway to determine what caused the crash following a Starlink launch early Wednesday. SpaceX had 2 Starlink launches planned for Wednesday, one in Florida and one in California. The California launch was called off after the rocket booster in the Florida launch crash-landed on a drone ship and fell into the Atlantic Ocean. All SpaceX Falcon 9 rockets are being grounded during the investigation, including the booster for the upcoming Polaris Dawn mission. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Ford Motor Company is putting the brakes on its diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. It's the latest high-profile U.S. company to make such a move. Ford says it will no longer participate in the annual Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index and says it will stop using quotas for minority dealerships and suppliers. And the Surgeon General says parental stress is a serious public health concern. Vivek Murthy released an advisory Wednesday saying the work of parenting is essential not only for the health of children, but also for the health of society. The advisory added parents are increasingly overwhelmed by the dizzying pace of the world. It cites a 2023 American Psychological Association survey that says a third of parents report high stress compared to 20% of non-parents.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Blue Jays 3-0 at Fenway Park. Series against Toronto wraps tonight at Fenway. And New England Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo said he'll announce the starting quarterback to the team before telling the media. Mayo's scheduled to have a press conference this morning.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A drop in temperatures and humidity on this Thursday. We're looking at a bright and sunny day on the South Coast, but noticeably cooler than Wednesday. Highs getting into the low 70s. Much of the same for Friday. And as for Labor Day weekend, sun on Saturday, showers likely on Sunday, and sun again on Monday. This WBSM News Update brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Back in 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And we're getting some app chat messages already on this question that I asked about, you know, would you rather see school start after Labor Day? As a parent, as a student, as a teacher, would you rather see school start on the Tuesday after Labor Day? And if that meant going a little bit later on in June as a result. But I do think there's places where you can carve out those 2 or 3 days that students are starting. For example, New Bedford High starts, what was it, the freshmen and the seniors that started one day and the sophomores and the juniors started the other day. Like, what's that? I get it. It's easier than having an influx of all the students right on the first day, especially as freshmen need to learn their way around and the seniors can be there to help them without the juniors and the sophomores getting in the way. I get it, but do they get to leave school a day early? Are they done a day before the others are? I don't know, maybe. But we got a couple messages here. Stephen Fairhaven says, I'm only guessing on the early start before Labor Day. Could be because it seems like they have many half days. I don't remember having so many back when I was in school. And I agree with that. There are a lot more half days than there were when I was in school. And I understand that the teachers need them. They have these, you know, professional development days. They need to have those days for that purpose. But I feel like it could be done better. And I'll be honest, I'm saying this not knowing any idea what goes on in those professional development days. And I'm going to infuriate some teachers right now by saying, why don't you save that for February vacation, for April vacation? Do the teachers need a vacation that week? I mean, I get it. They do. They definitely do. But they could also be working during that week. And I'm sure many are. Participation Trophy Wife says, looking at the school calendar, here's what I see. Election Day is a new day off. Last year they had school. And the Christmas holiday runs to January 6th. So there's your 2 days. That seems that seems like a long Christmas break. My birthday is on January 4th. And I went to school on my birthday. Although, let me just make sure here. So what they did is instead of coming back on the 2nd after New Year's Day and going the 2nd and the 3rd, they gave them until the 6th, the following Monday. So they said, you can just have that whole time off. Why not go to school those 2 days? If you are a parent or an educator, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the 2 days before Labor Day off? Or would you rather have the 2 days after New Year's Day off? Keeping in mind that by that point, you've already been off for about a week and a half. I don't know. The election day thing, my guess is that they had to do that because they probably have to use schools as polling places. It's becoming increasingly hard. I don't know how it is in every community, but I know that in Wareham they had struggles with getting places that were willing to be polling locations because the strict rules about polling places were impacting where they could have it. So the Elks Club was a longtime polling place. The Elks Club would say, okay, well, members have to use this entrance to get to the bar because the rest of the building is being used. And then they said, well, you have to close down. You can't have the bar running during voting. And so then the Elks Club was like, yeah, no, we're not going to be a polling place anymore. And one of the elementary schools let the gymnasium, a couple of the elementary schools let the gymnasium be polling places, but they wanted to do away with that because it was distracting toward the students. A parent coming to pick up a kid because they're sick couldn't find anywhere to park because all the parking spaces were filled with people who were voting. So I get needing to close the schools for Election Day. If you need to use one school as a polling place, then the entire district needs to have the day off. I get that. But I feel like you could make up these days somewhere else and let families have a Labor Day weekend. Let them plan a trip. Or don't make the kids go for 2 days and then say, okay, now you've got a 3-day weekend. And I know in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal. But it just seems like one of those things that could be figured out a better way. But I completely leave the door open that I could be way off base on this. And if I am, please send an app chat message. Please make a phone call. Please record an open line voicemail and tell me how wrong I am and why. So again, 508-996-0500. I am going to hold on here. Let me make sure that I'm in the right spot. I'm going to take a break. We will be back in just a few moments. No, it's not a rainy Thursday, but it's a Thursday. And 508-996-0500. And we're getting some more app chat messages and such about this. For example, Carol Ann says, it wouldn't really help teachers to have to go back after Labor Day, as they're already at school early to prepare to set up their classrooms. They wouldn't be able to use the 3 days for a Labor Day vacation. Ah, but actually they could, because they can set up their classrooms and then take 3 days off. They still have Saturday, Sunday, Monday off, even if they've already been there setting up their classrooms, but they could get their classroom set up in 2 days instead of 3 days and be able to use that extra time. Or they could start setting up their classroom a little bit earlier. You know, now they do it on the day they do it because they know the students are going back to school on a certain day. But if you said, well, you're going to have the opportunity to go on a vacation, you can go back. You can have a couple extra days earlier to start doing that. They could make that work for, it's a lot easier to make it work for teachers. But the other part of it is, they, you know, I know with a lot of teachers, they go back and, or they get their classroom for the first time. They might not have the same room that they had before. And they go in there and they've got no idea what to expect. So a lot of times they don't even know how they're going to plan for what they're going to do until they see it for the first time. So it might make it a little bit harder to plan in that respect. And then also, we have a few others. Not Bad Oak Bluff says, I'm against the early start days ahead of Labor Day. I just don't see the justification, especially now that we know how to do distance learning during a weather event. That said, almost every Florida school started this year on the earliest possible date of August 12th. Well, but they've always done that because that goes back to agricultural days. They've always done that because in the South, they have a warmer climate all the time, so they're a little bit more used to it. They don't have to get kids out of school because it's going to be too hot. So what you see happening is, you know, the kids will leave school in advance of when other northern states are leaving school, then everybody's heading down to Florida, which is great for teachers that work in the tourism industry during the summertime because, you know, they get a little break before they have to start doing that job. I know I have friends that are teachers in Florida that do that. But the other side of that is it goes back to when they would have to harvest the crops. That's really when that school calendar came about, as a way to make it so that kids could go to school and still help with all of that. That's why the whole, it's not just Florida, it's the entire South that has a different school calendar for that reason. And it's just become embedded and ingrained in the way things work. Could it change now? Of course. But they just stick with that because that's the way that it's always been done. The same way it's always been done up here, that we didn't go back to school until after Labor Day, but then they made a change in that. And then Meaty in Dartmouth says, the school system is run by liberals. You can't expect that they would use logic. Well, that has nothing to do with anything. We're talking about a calendar. But, you know, don't miss an opportunity to make a dumb statement like that. I'm sure there's probably some Facebook memes you could be posting and some comments you could be trolling somewhere else, but thanks for your contribution. But that's, I think, one of the real reasons why you see a lot of, you know, kind of drop off in vacations and travel toward the end of August. And I'm glad that this year is going to be a year where they're expecting record travel for Labor Day weekend. Because it means people at least are probably trying to, you know, they're finding a way to make an adjustment. We only have these 3 days, but we're going to use them to the maximum ability. Now, me personally, if I was a kid going back to school, I wouldn't want to be doing anything Labor Day weekend. I'd want to be just relaxing and doing nothing for my last few days of the summer because it's my last chance to do nothing for a while. I think that there's a very fast pace to the first part of the school year. At least in my recollection, you know, you blink and it's Thanksgiving. So you got to get your time in while you can to just do nothing. And as somebody who is a fan of sitting around and doing nothing, I want to maximize that opportunity. All right, I got to take, speaking of doing nothing, That's kind of what I felt like I did yesterday. I did so much, but I didn't get enough done. Those are the worst days when you're like, okay, I've got to do this. And then you go out and you start doing things and you've crossed nothing off your list. But I did get to spend some time in an antique shop in Sandwich yesterday with some beautiful pieces. You know, it's kind of like just walking around a museum. Some beautiful stuff. But they had some whaling antiques that I thought were pretty interesting. I took some, I'm going to try and do a story on it, see if I can find some more information about what was in there. I was looking through the photos. They didn't really come out great. I might have to go take some more photos when I go back. But I also, there's a well on the side of the road in Sandwich that's been around for hundreds of years. And I'm trying to dig into the story about that. I looked into it last year and couldn't find much on it, but I'm going to see if I can get some more and have a story up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Right now, though, I'm going to take my final break. We'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back in. We're actually going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we can talk more with you. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And hold on. I had to clear my throat there. And of course, remember, too, you can always send me, you know, you want to wish somebody a happy birthday, record that on the app and send it to me. And I'll play them on the show.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.